Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 105, Kuf Hei. The first 15 verses of this psalm seem familiar. Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo, hodiyu ba'amim alilotav. Almost word for word, they resemble the first book of Divrei Hayamim, chapter 16, verse 8 to 22, which we recite in our tefillah every morning. There David is transporting the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he gives this prayer to Asaph and his brothers to sing to all, in which they call on each individual to recognize the miracle taking place and charges them to acknowledge, thank, and praise God for this event. Radak explains that when David compiled the book of Tehillim, he included that passage and added it to form our psalm. The first six verses are a general introduction calling on people to thank God. And so it says the following: Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo, hodiyu ba'amim alilotav. Shir lo, zamer lo, sichu v'chol niflotav. Yitalu b'shem kocho, yismach lev makshe Adonai. Dirshu Adonai v'uzo bakshu panav tamid, yizichu niflotav asher yasav moftav mishpatei fiv. Zera Abraham avdo, b'nei Yaakov b'chira. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk you of all his wondrous works. Glory his name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O children of Jacob, his chosen. It's interesting that right from the start, there's an inconsistency as the first part of the verse speaks of thanking God and calling his name, seemingly directly to God, while the second half, usually a parallel poetic component, charges the adherents to inform the nations, Hodiyu ba'amim alilotav. And so we wonder, is the purpose to thank God or to speak his praise to the world? The subsequent verses, and in reality the rest of the psalm, support the former position. It's about calling out to God directly, singing to him, seeking him, praising, rejoicing, seeking God constantly. That's the crux of the psalm. And the idea of informing the nations of this is perhaps less central to the theme. Verse 4 calls on the people to seek God, search for his face, a tall order indeed. Yet perhaps verse 5 also offers assistance when it explains how one goes about seeking God. Zichru neflotav, remember his wonders, his miracles, his judgments. Perhaps by remembering God's greatness in history, one will be enlightened about his nature. This verse, I believe, is the key to the rest of the psalm, the next 38 verses, which are dedicated to seeking God's ways through a history lesson of his miracles. Amos Chacham divides the rest of the psalm into seven sections, each one describing another remarkable aspect of God's intervention into the lives of his nation, introducing the concept of the covenant, the relationship with the forefathers in Canaan, Joseph in Egypt, Israel in Egypt, plagues in Egypt, Exodus and walking in the desert, and finally inheriting the land. The psalm then takes us on a journey of Israel's history through the prism of the manifestation of God's covenant. Hu Adonai Eloheinu v'chol ha'aretz mishpatav, he's the Lord our God, his judgments all over the earth. Zachar le'olam brito, davar tziva le'elef dor, he remembered his covenant to the world for 1,000 generations. Asher karat et Avraham u'shvuato li Yitzchak. He made that covenant with Abraham and the oath to Isaac. Vayemidela Yaakov l'chok b'Yisrael b'rit olam, confirmed the same for Jacob for a law, a covenant everlasting. Lemor l'cha eten eretz Canaan, chevel nachalatchem, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as your inheritance. Scholars have suggested that we should read the entire Torah as a series of britot, covenants between God and the world. He makes a covenant with the world after the flood and then continues with Abraham, focusing on him and his descendants more than on the world at large. With Israel, God makes two main covenants, one at Sinai and 40 years later with the second generation as they enter the promised land. Verse 8 describes the way in which God remembered his world through the covenant which was commanded for 1,000 generations. That covenant which began universal continued in verses 9 and 10 to be particular to the nation of Israel with the promised land as inheritance. Now we begin the seven sections. Adam When they were but a few in number, a little account and sojourners there, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he did not allow any man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed, do not do any harm to my prophets. Midrash Tehillim ascribes this section to the wanderings of Abraham and Sarah as they sought to find their home amongst all the nations. They ended up in Egypt, and God warned Avimelech and Pharaoh not to touch his anointed ones, their special, not to be harmed. Next stage, Vayikra Rav al ha'aretz kol matel lechem shavar shalach lifneim ish la'eved nimkar Yosef inu bekevel raglau barzel ba'a nasho ad eit bo dvaro imrat adonai tzarafatu. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke off every staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, whose foot they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord had tested him. Shalach melech ve'etzirehu Moshe l'amim yafatrehu samo adon lebeito Moshe b'chol kinyano l'esor sarah b'nasho zkenim uzkenav yechakim. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of the house and ruler of his possessions to bind the princes at his pleasure and teach the elders wisdom. We see God's providence in sending a famine to the land and having the brothers find their way to Joseph in Egypt. Perhaps even, it sounds like from the psalm, that he's sending Joseph to Egypt in order to provide for Israel. Perhaps in describing the sad tale of Joseph and his brothers, we're meant to appreciate God's providence in judging his tribe of adherents and punishing them when they falter, when they turn on each other, but ultimately helping them unite. Vayavo Yisrael Mitzrayim vayakov gar be'eretz cham. Israel then comes from Egypt. And this is the next section in which, once again, we see God's providence, God's watching over, God's constant involvement. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. The final verse speaks of God's providence in causing Egypt to hate Israel and turn them into slaves, preparing the ground for their ultimate dissolution. The phrase hafach libam, changing their heart, reminds us of God turning Pharaoh's heart by Yafech Hashem et Levav Paro against Israel when he knew that he should actually release the slaves. God's judgment appears once again, punishing the evil and protecting his chosen nation. Next stage, Shalach Moshe v'Avdo Aaron Asher Bacharo, introducing Moshe and Aaron, his servants, his messengers. Samu bam divrei ototav muftim be'eretz cham. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Cham. Shalachoshech v'yachshoch v'lo maru et dvaro, the plague of darkness. Hafachet memehem l'dam v'yamet et gatam, the plague of blood, killing the fish. Sharatz artzam tzvardeim b'chadrei malcheim, the famous frogs. Amar v'yavo arov kinim b'chol gvulam. Natan gishmehem barad eish lahavot ba'aretzam. The rain came down as barad, as hail. Vayach gafnam uteinatam vayishaber eitz gvulam, destroying all the produce. Amar v'yavo arbed, the locusts, v'yelek v'ein mispar. Vayochal kol esev ba'aretzam vayochal priyad matam, the locusts destroyed what was left over. And finally, vayach kol b'chor ba'aretzam reshit l'chol onam, the death of the firstborn. The longest section here belongs to a description of the plagues in which God teaches Egypt and Pharaoh while defending his beloved Israel. The order of the plagues is a bit different from the presentation of the Torah. Darkness comes first. Also, the plagues of pestilence and boils, Dever and Shechin, don't appear in the list at all. Nevertheless, the verses conclude with the smiting of the firstborn and pave the way for the next stage, the Exodus itself. Vayotziem bekesef v'zahav ve'ein b'shvatav koshel, brought them out with silver and gold. Samach Mitzrayim b'tzeitam kinafal pachdam aleihem, Egypt was rejoicing that they left because they were so afraid of the Hebrews. Paras anan lemasach ve'esh la'ir laila. The cloud covered and light and fire gave night light at night. Sha'al v'yavei slav v'lechem shamayim yasviyem. He brought quails and satisfied them with bread from heaven. Patach tzur v'yazuvu mayim halchu batziyut nahar. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. Ki zachar dvar kadsho et Avraham avdo v'yotzi amo misason v'rinai b'chirav. For he remembered his holy promise, Abraham his servant, and he brought out his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Verse 38 introduces to us the idea that Egypt was pleased with the departure of Israel from its land. We're reminded that Israel was sent out with gold and silver so as not to leave empty-handed. In verse 40, God's providence rains down on the Israelites by providing manna from heaven and quails when they desired meat. The psalm ignores the fact that the quail provided by God was actually a punishment to those who defied God and were killed by their gluttony. In verse 43, we conclude the section, but speaking of God as bringing joy and gladness, meaning to impart the message of God's wonders and miracles for his nation, focusing on God's compassion and guidance of Israel throughout their travels until reaching the promised land. The final verses finish the mission, speaking of the conquest and the triumphant conclusion to the Exodus story. Vayiten lehem arzot goyim ve'amal le'umim yirashu ba'avor yishmu chukav v'toratav yinzoru hallelujah. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they seized the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his Torah. Hallelujah. The psalm ends dramatically with God giving Israel the lands of the nations, Eretz Canaan, to inherit, but only on one condition, that they fulfill their purpose of guarding laws, following Torah, and singing praise to God.